What's going on, friends? Tony Steffen here, back with another episode of the School of Success podcast. And today I'm joined by a very special guest, my friend John Bowles, who's the CEO of Avintive. Did I say that properly? I know you just told me.
You did.
Okay, Avintive Media. John was just recently named top 25, number two on the top 25. It was at Entrepreneurs in Arizona.
Yeah, it was. I guess it was Entrepreneurs to Keep an Eye Out, or Entrepreneurs that are keeping the entrepreneurial spirit going in Phoenix. Oh,
I love that. I love that. So, John is a badass. We were introduced by a mutual friend, Bedros Koulian. So, super excited to have you here today, brother. What's going on, man?
Not much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to have your followers and people that listen to your podcast hear my story and just, you know, hopefully be able to provide some value to everyone.
Oh, dude, you definitely will. I'm a huge fan of your content. As soon as Be Connected Us, you know, I hit you up on Instagram. I checked your content. It's amazing, amazing stuff. Your ability to storytell is absolutely great, which is huge. So why don't we just dive into it, man? What does your company do? I know you have things listed on there that you work with Lamborghini and you work with Ferrari, and obviously you're making huge impact. So how did you create this company? What's your mission? What's going on with all that?
Awesome. Yeah. So I'll just dive right in. So it's pretty simple. And when I say this, people are always like shell shocked. They're like, what did you just say? So the mission with Avintive Media is to give life back to entrepreneurs. And when I say that, as an entrepreneur for the past going on 9 years now, I never had a life. I've been stressed out for 9 full years, 8 full years, working 100 hours a week. I've been in the hospital multiple times with issues or illnesses that were due to stress, overworking. And if you look at entrepreneurship as a whole, a lot of entrepreneurs don't have great marriages or relationships or experiences. All they do is work. All they do is stress about their job. All they do is worry about their website or their leads converting or, you know, what's going on in their business. They're strained and don't have the greatest connection with their children. You know, they try to make as much money as possible. And then when they get to their 40s, 50s, or 60s, they then get a relationship with their children. So what Avintive Media does is we take the stress off entrepreneurs. So when you work with our marketing agency, whether it's with us doing your custom web design or social media management or Facebook advertising, business coaching, whatever service you decide to go with, we alleviate all the stress off your plate. So when working with Avintive Media, what we do from the get-go is we do a huge discovery process. And I think that's the biggest reason why we've hit such, you know, tremendous success over the past year, year and a half, is not many agencies will give you a 1 to 3 hour discovery session. You know, we were charging $2,000 for that. We comp it for people that we feel, you know, see value in working with, and we won't take you on unless we think it's a right fit. So many marketing agencies out there and so many companies out there just want the money, and we are trying to leave a huge impact and provide value. We're not in the business of taking money. When you work with us, you're not another invoice on the list. We're family. You know, we are in this together. We know what your goals are, what your dreams are, what keeps you up at night. And every service that we do is custom built around you and your brand. So with Avintive, when you work with us, we are the top echelon of marketing agencies. You know, our niche is fitness and luxury brands. So we have a lot of fitness celebrities as clients. Like you mentioned, we have Ferrari, Lamborghini, Maserati, Penske Automotive, stuff like that. We're doing a hospital's website right now, which is our largest project we've ever had. I started the company because when I was an entrepreneur, a lot of web developers would try to screw me over. A lot of marketing agencies would fix the numbers and I would dive into them and they just didn't make sense. And I was just sick and tired of getting screwed over. So we are the white knights that come. We're the light at the end of the tunnel for entrepreneurs that don't, you know, we're not really, you know, our cost structure isn't really for startups that just started. If you have the funding and the ability to afford us, you know, we will gladly help. But our niche are people that are already doing over 6 figures in revenue or a little under 6 figures in revenue. And we help you scale way past that.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. And something you said there, I kind of chuckled to myself. My wife's upstairs. And if she heard it, she would agree that entrepreneurs have rough, and I'm newly married, but you know, it's everything comes second, right? So it's like your family, your friends, your relationship, your own personal health and fitness, like, right? You and I could probably go back and forth, not just ourselves, but so many people we know who are health and fitness professionals who like are the most stressed out, overworked, unhealthy people ever who are entrepreneurs. So you mentioned you were in the hospital a few times. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. So I just found out that I don't know if I still have them, but about 2 months ago, I had to get a colonoscopy at the age of 30. So that's not normal for a 30-year-old to have to go get that. I found out I had 6 stomach ulcers and I had about 3 pounds of built up acid in my lower intestines and stomach.
Wow.
So I was really bloated, had no idea what it was. I went and, you know, had the cameras put in and they said, yeah, dude, like you have one of the worst cases we've seen for such a young age. You know, before that I had acute pancreatitis about 2 years ago with more stomach ulcers. I've been hospitalized for shingles. I had one of the worst cases of shingles. A hospital is seen in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at my age. They like, I think they did a case study on me if I remember correctly. But it's all induced by stress. And it all comes from overworking myself based on the person I used to be. You know what I mean? So a lot of clients that we work with, they hustle so hard. They're so driven because it's all fueled from their past. Either whether they think they're not good enough or they have to prove people wrong or they need to make more money, but it's all running away from what the main issue was from, you know, their childhood or their early adult life, whatever that is. You know, people just keep working themselves to, you know, to death, and it's not healthy. And I'm someone that can share those stories with people.
Wow. Okay. So can you continue to deep dive into this? So you said that you work with a lot of driven people, in which, you know, we would both agree, obviously that's like a core foundation for success with entrepreneurship. You have to be driven. If you're lazy, it's never going to work out. But you said something that was really, really impactful there of you find that your driven clients and even yourself, and I can relate to this as well, that you're almost running from something in your past. So can you kind of keep going into that? Like what you meant by that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm investing a lot of money right now into business coaching, life coaching, transformational courses. I actually just graduated from MITT, which is a phenomenal, very, very intensive course. I don't think there's a more intense course on the planet. It's a 5-day life transformational course, 13 hours a day. They have you bawling your eyes out every day. It is the craziest thing I've ever been a part of. But along with being an entrepreneur and a consultant for 9 years, I've been very big into psychology and how people think, how I think. Do I have a degree in it? No. But have I been around it for many, many years with consulting and clients, you know, consulting hundreds of clients? Absolutely. And the main core competency that everyone can relate to is there was one pivotal moment in your life as a child that has dictated where you go in your future. Mine, personally, was when my parents got divorced when I was 5 years old on Christmas morning. Not the day after, not the day before, Christmas morning, I wake up, I have my toys in my hand, I have a Nerf gun in my left hand, a black Power Ranger in my right hand, and I walk into the kitchen, my parents are just sobbing. And I look at the door and my dad's bags are packed at the door. And I looked at my dad, I looked at, you know, my dad, then the door, and I'm like, Dad, are you going on another trip? And they just start bawling their eyes out. So, you know, I won't touch on this for too long, but picture how that feels as a 5-year-old. You don't know if it's your fault. You don't know if your family's broken up. You know that you're never going to have another brother and sister, which I was an only child and I just wanted a family. All these things start happening. And when I started going to school, everyone would make fun of me. Kindergarten, first grade, second grade, you have a broken family. Your dad left you. Like, kids are mean, right? So yeah. I went through hell in grade school with people making fun of me. Then my parents saw that I was always upset. So they would buy me more things because back then, you know, if you had the money, parents would think that love would, you know, money would buy you love, which is not the truth. So I would get double of everything, bring it to school, show off, and everyone stopped talking crap. Everyone started being friends with me. I'm like, okay. So I learned at the age of 5, money bought power. Money bought love. Money bought people liking you. And that's totally not the truth. But when you're 5 years old and you have so much pain and you see something positive happening, your brain starts resonating with that. So throughout my entire life, I thought that money would fix my family. Money would bring my parents back together. Money would bring, you know, a brother and sister in my life. So I wore a huge mask my entire life. Growing up, I acted better than I was. I acted like a little spoiled brat, you know, and that just got into a horrible lifestyle. And, you know, I got mixed up with the wrong crowd, did some, you know, not so good things, you know, suffered from addiction for many years. And that was a very, very rough time in my life. And you know, that's a whole nother story we could get into for a couple hours, but had a very bad, you know, I would say 17 to 20 years old were the worst years of my life. Hit rock bottom, bankrupt, in debt, drug addict, lost all my friends, and we had to go to rehab for 30 days and I had to leave everyone behind. So picture, I just told you, I had a mask my entire life, 5 years old to 17 years old. I had a mask as a child. picture what you do when you're an addict. You wear the even bigger mask. And then after that, I thought I had to make up so many years that I lost. So I became an entrepreneur. I went, I did a complete 180 after rehab, got straight A's in college, did really well for myself, started my first company, did six figures that year. But that is the beginning portion of the story I've told everyone. It doesn't predate before that. No one knows about the parents. No one knows about the rough childhood. No one knows about being an addict. Everyone thinks, oh, he popped out of the womb successful. Or, oh, look at the car. Look at this. I was so scared of people finding out my past that I wore a very, very big mask. And to contribute that to what I'm talking about with clients is something has happened in our lives. Even if people can't relate to being an addict or all these stories, I just got done with, you know, 2 full weeks of MITT training with hundreds of people and hearing their stories. Some girls were raped. Some guys had their parents get killed at the age of 2 or age of 3. So there's one moment in your guys' life that literally shifts your entire future. Now, you might not go through a course like I did, so it's probably hard to remember what that would be. But when you go through one of these courses, you find out what that is. But all of us are running from something or trying to prove something wrong. Because right now, I make enough money. I have enough money. I don't have to keep working $100 a week. So why do I keep doing it? So my why now and my shift why now is I'm not working for more money anymore. I'm not working to prove people wrong like I was 2 or 3 years ago. I'm making an impact and I'm a leader that I know could literally change the world. And I've been doing a disservice for so many years by not posting on social media, by not telling my full story, by being scared that I'm not the Lewis House of the world or the Brendan Bouchard or I'm the this. I need to start knowing that I'm John Bowles and I have the power to change the world one person at a time. So my whole way of being now is to transform entrepreneurs' lives. And when I can build a platform and a base that's large enough, I would love to go more mainstream because I have a lot. I have hundreds of people a week DMing me and messaging me of personal life stuff that's going on that I truly know I could help if I just had extra time. So with that being said, my greater why now is not money driven. It's more impact driven. How can I impact the world? How can I impact the most amount of people with, you know, 1 hour out of the day, 2 hours out of the day? So I'm thinking 10, 20 years in advance right now. I'm not even in 2018 when we're talking right now. I'm thinking 10 years down the road, how can I make one social media post and have it affect 200,000 people? So kind of went on a little tangent, but.
Oh, that's good, man. That's great. I love that. That's huge. And you know, what you said there was really kind of made me think that everyone has, I don't want to butcher it, but everyone has a pivotal moment in their childhood. How did you come to that realization for, let's just say, an entrepreneur or even we can, because obviously you're into health and fitness too, you know, you're a healthy guy and you said a lot of your clients are in health and fitness. For someone who struggled with obesity or, some sort of health condition their entire life, like how can they find that pivotal moment in their youth? And then how can you build something constructive coming away from that?
Great question. So to be completely honest, I had to go to MITT to get put through that training. The coaches have been coaches for 32 years. They deal with it all the time. I knew I had some issues to deal with as far as like childhood, my parents, but I didn't know that the divorce when I was 5 years old on Christmas shifted everything because the money, the addiction, all the stuff I went through was just wanting love. It was just wanting connection. It was just wanting family. So there's not really an easy answer to that. I can't just say, you know, take some time and listen to some good music and dive into your past. It's more so like you need to go to a transformational event or you need to hire a business coach or a life coach that is trained in that field that can allow you to deep dive. I know some friends that did like, it's called the RIM or the Blue RIM. I'm probably butchering it, but one of the guys, Xander, was in B's mastermind and he does RIM training and he can literally get a client to cry in 10, 15 minutes. So, I mean, there's a lot of different coaches out there. I deep dive with all of my clients, but I don't go as far as MITT goes. So if there's anyone listening that is interested in finding out their past, I believe it's MITTRAINING.com. It's super cheap. It's way less than what I charge to consult clients. But yeah, it takes a lot to dive into your past. So to answer your question about like obesity and stuff like that, one of my clients is Possible Pat and you know, he lost 300 to 400 pounds in his transformational journey. And we built a structure to his company. We run all of his ads, we run all of his back end. So I know what obese clients are going through. I see the inbox messages. I see the meal plans that are going out. And I was just with a guy that was at MITT who's a little overweight. And what he was saying is he's from a third world country and they didn't have a lot of food. So what his dad would do is the dad would plug his nose at the age of like 1, 2, 3 years old and shove food down his throat because it was scarcity there and people would steal off your plate. The food would go bad. So what he would do is he would force feed his son to make sure he had enough nutrients and enough food. So what do you think that does to a child? His entire life, he scarfs down food now because he thinks it's scarcity and it's fight or flight. Or, you know, so there's a lot of things from childhood that have to do with obesity. You grow, picture growing up and watching your dad drink throughout the entire day as an alcoholic. You're probably more destined to become an alcoholic. If your family or friends are eating on holidays and they're stuffing their faces, what do you think you're going to do? You grew up 18 years every single day watching your family stuff their face. There's no wonder why over 60% of America is obese. It is a very easy way out. Going and eating a Twinkie or a burger or fast food is a very easy out. And everyone in the world is wanting an easy out, even the top entrepreneurs. Shit, I look for an easy out sometimes and I have to talk myself out of it. That's just what humans do. But with obesity or people that are in their childhood, you know, it's no wonder why they fall into that. Now for me, like with addiction, my parents have never had an addiction, but I hung around friends who were doing all of that for long enough where I started picking it up. So when I say you're the top five, I haven't said this yet, but I say it all the time on social media, you are the top five people you associate with, you hang out with. If you're hanging out with losers who are doing nothing all day, watching soap operas, watching TV, there is no way you are going to become uber successful. Now, if you do, that's a very lucky shot, a lucky chance, but there is no way you're going to find the motivation if you're hanging out with people that are sleeping all day. Or if you're hanging out with obese people that are going to, you know, open buffet all day, stuffing faces, it's going to be very hard for you to hold your urge for year after year.
Oh yeah, no, I absolutely agree with that. And you know, it's something that you said there that something I've always talked to a lot of, you know, especially my clients about is just like our reptilian brain and how it loves familiarity, right? And how it loves routine. And that, like, that's what we're conditioned to as human beings. And we're, I love, that's why I said before is I love the way that this was going to go because I knew we were going to talk about psychology. And great. No matter, and it's, dude, it's so true. No matter if you have weight loss goals, if you have, you know, you want to build muscle or you want to build a business, it's all the deep rooted psychological issues.
Yes.
What's one of my favorite quotes is the first battle we always lose is usually within our own mind. So it's kind of like us self-sabotaging ourselves, but it's kind of like, what's one of the things to where like a girl who grows up in an abusive household is more likely to seek out an abusive partner. And it's like, why is that? Well, obviously she knows that's wrong. Like you said, you grew up with an alcoholic parent or you grew up with, you know, excuse me, whatever, like an abusive family. But it's the familiar part. The reptilian brain says, no, this is safe. Like, we know this. We don't have to fear the unknown. You know, even though we like consciously know it's wrong, subconsciously, it's like, no, this is familiar. So that's very powerful stuff, man.
Let's even take it one step deeper because you were onto something there. So you said a girl that grows up in an abusive, you know, household or sees the parents or this or that goes into an abusive relationship. Let's go on the flip side and dive even deeper. There's a lot of people that do self-sabotage in good relationships because it's uncomfortable. A lot of people self-sabotage their business, their marriage, their relationships because they think that they're not good enough for it, that it's going to turn into abusive, it's going to turn into X, Y, or Z, and it's not familiar with them. So it's on both sides of the prong.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And it's kind of breaking those like non-fulfilling thoughts and breaking that like negative path you're on. So you talked about, you know, obviously investing in yourself and investing in courses and, you know, you were just at the mastermind with B. Bedros, our mutual friend and coach.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, can you just explain, and that's something I believe so much in. Like when I quit my job, I wanted to launch my online company. I took the last dollars in my bank account, thousands of dollars, because he's not cheap, but he's worth it. And I hired B as my coach. And so many people, John, you always hear, I don't have the money for coaching. I wish I could, but you know, my job doesn't pay me that much, or I have my kids to take care of. And for me, I always look at it as value. And since you work with Ferrari, you'll love this analogy that why is it Ferrari charges, you know, whatever, hundreds of times more than a Honda or whatever, a Toyota or a Ford? Mm-hmm. They both get you to point A, from point A to point B, but it's the value. It's the experience that you get with the Ferrari versus other cars. So, you know, can you deep dive into like A, what coaching and mentorship's done for you, and just the importance of, again, no matter what your goal, the importance of valuing yourself above everything else, and then finding the way, right? Finding the way to invest in yourself, finding the way to get the money that you maybe don't have to get you to where you want to go.
Absolutely. So let's start with the whole money thing, right? So if I put, and this is a bad analogy with what's going on in the world, but if someone puts a gun to your head and says, I'm going to kill your favorite, most loved one, or your mom, or your dad, or your girlfriend, if you don't come up with $10,000 by tomorrow, I'm pretty sure 99.9% of us would figure out a way to come up with the 10 grand. So it's not the fact that I don't have it, I can't come up with it. It's the fact that your rackets in your head, which are like the disbeliefs, the negativity, your ego that lives inside of your head, are talking you out of trying to come up with the money. Now, I do know some people are in circumstances, and I do, you know, because we do a lot of sales with our agency and coaching. So there are some people that say, I don't have the money. And I would agree with them in their current situation to not come up with the money for coaching. You know, if someone's going through legal or they're about to lose their house, there are some people that when they say that excuse, it actually is correct. But 90% of the time, it's not. So let's dive into, you know, what mentors and coaches have done for me. I am not a know-it-all. You know, I'm a pretty successful entrepreneur by self-starting myself. I've self-taught myself everything. But hiring a coach and mentor is basically like you just zap to another level. It's like you don't have to get in the car and drive across the country. It's like you just take a plane and it takes 1 hour to get there. Why would I continue to work 100 hours a week, you know, for the next, you know, 10, 20, 30 years when I can drop 50 grand on business coaching or a consultant or a mentor and he can get me 3 years ahead? So I'm playing the long game, but if I can play a chess game where I leapfrog ahead, why would I not do that? And for anyone that's hiring a coach out there, if they don't keep hiring coaches or keep evolving, how long do you plan on staying with them? Like, I don't invest in coaches that don't invest in coaches. So like every coach I hire has a mentor or a coach of some sort. Now my coaches are at the top of the food chain. You know, they're at the top of the list. They're guys that charge, you know, 20 to 50 grand a day for consulting. So they don't really need to hire more coaches, but you best believe they have about 5 to 10 mentors that, or a board of directors that, you know, they meet with, they do stuff like that. I'm starting to find out that the older the individual is, the more I want to invest in them. So for instance, one of my mentors, his name's Josh, he lives in Arizona. Josh is getting ready to gross probably 80 to 110 million this year. And all of his mentors are over the age of 85. Wow. So they have wisdom, they have knowledge of many years, they've been through, you know, economy being down, being up, being left, being right. They are guys with wisdom that can tell you how to pre-plan the next 50 years of your life versus these little hop, skip, and a jumps people are worried about now with Instagram and lead gen, all these smaller issues. Like my mentors and a lot of the coaches I have are already planning my life 25 to 50 years out. I'm already married, I already have kids, multiple houses, the impact we're doing is in the millions. I'm inspiring X, Y, and Z. So those are the coaches I look at hiring, not coaches that can just get me 1 year out. Like, how can I get 50 years out?
That's huge, man. I love what you said, that you only want to work with coaches who, you know, practice what they preach and invest in themselves. And it's something too, that it's the leapfrog theory, right? And I mean, I love the analogy that you gave of versus driving, or driving versus flying, but you know, it's crazy that you're right. Like, why? And that's something I've always said to people. It's like, why would you frustrate yourself by trying to figure it all out on your own? Like, what's one of the sayings? Is success leaves clues. So instead of you wasting, like you said, 100 hours a week frustrating yourself, trying things over and over, you know, failing over and over, just learn from someone who has already done it and who can replicate that in you. And you were throwing out, you know, pretty decent numbers there, $20,000 to $50,000 per day of consulting, which, I'm sure maybe to someone listening to this who is just starting a business or new in their career, that sounds like an astronomical amount of money.
Absolutely.
But it's really not. It's really not when you look at things that like we've seen in other sides of business of, because it's what you are, the knowledge you are going to get is A, going to get you the most limited resource, which is your time back, which becomes extremely valuable. And B, hopefully if it's a solid plan, a solid coach, you're going to make your money back plus some, right?
Yeah, I just don't think people understand the true value of opportunity cost. I think that they're looking in a social studies or economics book, or I mean, I did horrible in grade school and high school, but I think they're still looking at it like what teachers taught you. Opportunity cost isn't, in my world, is in the millions of dollars. So why would I spend, or even someone that's starting up, let's just say opportunity cost, right? Why would you do everything yourself versus hiring a coach or hiring a team or hiring some below or someone below you, an assistant, an intern, whatever, to do it yourself? You are literally self-sabotaging yourself to scaling. Now, if I had to start out again, would I right out of the gate, and this is just my personal opinion, would I hire a business coach right out of the gate? Probably not, because in my world or who I am as a person, I love to get a little dirty first to see what doesn't work. And then I hire a coach for what doesn't work. I don't want to hire a coach to tell me what does work right away, because then I'm not going to learn myself. I'm not going to have trial and error. I would rather go to a coach with 10 bullet points saying, hey, I need help with these 10 things and 4 other things that I didn't notice that you think I need. And usually when you have a bullet point or you know what you want, coaching becomes cheaper, right? If you go into a coach or you come to me and you don't know what you want or what you need, it's probably going to be a lot more expensive than if you brought me a list of things that your business needs to grow.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. What else do you look for in a mentor or for you personally? Like, so obviously someone who, I like what you said, they're planning out the next 25 to 50 years of your life. Someone who, you know, has obviously invested in themselves with more coaching. Is there anything else for, or maybe even some tips for someone who is,
looking for
a mentor?
Yeah. So the couple of coaches and mentors I'm going to be hiring this year, my buddy, Chris Lee, he's actually Lewis House's coach. Lewis House went through the MIT training a number of years ago. Chris has been his one-on-one coach since then, which, you know, I think Chris has been on his podcast like 14 times now. Wow. Chris is a phenomenal guy. We connected very, very well at MITT, and he told me to keep my schedule open at the end of the year. He wants to work with me one-on-one, says that he thinks he can help me change the entire world and help me create a platform that can inspire millions and millions of people. So when I look at mentors and coaches, one, who you've coached before is a very big deal for me. So when I hear that Chris helped Lewis House get to where he is, or helped coach him, or X, Y, or Z, because I look up to Lewis House, I respect Lewis, he's a great guy, I'm going to want to hire that coach. Because it's not about money for me anymore. I have enough revenue coming in with different things going on where I don't focus on revenue anymore. How can I lead with value, and how can I make the biggest impact? Now, in my world, when you lead with value and you make an astronomical impact, the money follows. I don't even have to worry about what that number looks like, because when I say I'm going to personally inspire 100,000 people, I know what the average cost we make on that 100,000 people is, and my goal is to not even look at having all of them as clients. Like, I'd love to help people for free. If I can just share my message and we get 10% of those people as clients where it pays the bills and it allows us to donate more money, be a part of more cool projects, that's the end goal. So when I look for mentors and coaches, it's who have you coached in the past? What does your resume look like? What do you see in myself, and where do you see me going? Because if I tell you where I'm going and I tell you all these different things, you're just assisting with my own vision. You're not helping me recreate or advance my vision. So I need a visionary and someone that can, pull me back down to earth and tell me, no, John, we need to wait to do that for 2 years, or we need to focus on this right now.
Yeah, that's great, man. I love that. I love what you just said there. Was it hard for you at first to, because I know you said you're the person who likes to get their hands dirty. So it sounds like it was maybe challenging for you at first to hire that first coach.
Yeah. I mean, I've been the guy that ever since, when I was a kid, not feeling the love, getting picked on, I always felt like I had to do everything myself to prove people wrong, because I did drop out of college and I did get bad grades in high school and I was an ex-addict. I just felt like I had a chip on my shoulder and I had to prove everyone wrong. Like, back when I got started in 2009, you got to remember, there was no Grant Cardone. There was no Instagram. There was no Gary Vee with his YouTube and podcast. There was nothing. There was no entrepreneurship getting pushed. Entrepreneurship, when I got started, was a loser's game. Everyone made fun of you. I got called a dropout. I got called a loser. At least back where I was in Wisconsin or the Midwest or Chicago, not many people were entrepreneurs. So yeah, I got self-started because not many people wanted to be an entrepreneur. It's not like I could just go on Facebook. Like if I go on Instagram today and make a post, hey, I'm looking for a personal assistant or a designer or a this or a freleancer, I'll get 50 to 150 DMs in the same day about people that are motivated to work with us. 9 years ago, no one would have messaged me. Like, it wasn't cool and hip and fun back then. So it's almost like I didn't have the opportunity to hire coaches because there were no coaches. There were no coaches that, you know, business coaching is very new. A lot of people did consulting. Like, if you look at Brendan Bouchard, he was an ex-business consultant. If you look at my story, I was a consultant for 6 or 7 years, maybe 8 years before I started business coaching. So the two are completely different. So a lot of people have morphed into a business coach or a mentor. Because back when I got started, mentors were like college professors, older board of directors. There was no like people showing up in skinny jeans and Chuck Taylors telling you how to grow to 7-8 figures.
Right. Oh man. Yeah. That's very true. And I can only imagine. So that makes good sense. And like you said, I feel like at times, especially when you create your own business, you want to do everything on your own. But what you said there was really impactful to where you can't do it all. And as sooner or later, you're going to limit your time and you're just going to inhibit your own growth by not reaching out and getting that type of support. So that's really good stuff there, man. So let's shift gears a little bit. Like, for someone who maybe wants to start a business or start a new entrepreneurial endeavor, because like you said, that's a hot thing right now. That's a hot topic. Yeah. Everyone on Instagram, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a serial entrepreneur, whatever. What are some of the biggest mistakes you see most new businesses making? Let's keep in the health and fitness realm, since that's where we're both at.
Oh boy. This should be fun.
Yeah.
Biggest mistakes I see. I mean, there's a lot. So instead of going on a story, I'll just do like bullet pointed. The health and fitness field, I've been in it for a number of years with different companies that I've owned and controlling a lot of different celebrity brands. It's a very mask wearing oriented field. Everyone has to outdo each other. Everyone has to have the cool car. Everyone's worried about their followers. They're looking, like B always says, they're looking for that next dopamine hit.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, getting a like or a comment or a share. The fitness industry is very, you know, they care so much about what they look like, how they sound. Like, my biggest thing for people that want to get in the health and fitness industry, find your why. Don't just start a macro, you know, coaching plan because you saw someone else do it. Don't start a clothing company because you see Randall Pitch or I'm not at Randall's my boy, but I'm not at his level, or the Gymsharks or Modus or Christian Guzman. Don't just start things because you see other people doing them. I've fallen into that trap before, and you end up losing a lot of money, a lot of time, and you get angry. So take off your mask. Stop fronting. Like, the only way your business is going to grow in 2018 and 2019, because we've already personally grown, I want to say maybe 55 or 60 fitness companies this year alone. And some of them are growing at 3,600%. So I don't know many other people that are scaling fitness brands to that level or to that growth. And the number one thing we teach in the beginning is you have to be your most authentic self. Doesn't matter how many followers you have. Doesn't matter, you know, all of these things you think you need. If you are not authentic and you wear a mask and you lie on Instagram or you try to perceive things a certain way which aren't true, no one is going to purchase from you. No one is going to believe in you. There are millions of macro coaches out there now. There are millions of dietitians. There are millions of people that can write meal plans and fitness plans. I mean, Christ, you can go to bodybuilding.com and pay $9 a month and get all of it done.
Yep.
So what is going to separate you in the marketplace? You have to be your authentic self. You need to be who you are deep down inside, and you need to know where you're going. What is your why? What value are you providing? Like, it shocks all of my clients. As soon as they start with, you know, I only take on a certain amount of one-on-one coaching, then we have group coaching, and they're all at different levels, and they're like ready to dive in. Like, how do I grow my social media? How do I make another 20 grand a month in revenue? How do I do this? I'm like, whoa, pump the brakes. And when we start, it goes over the discovery process, and I actually retrain the way their mind works, the way their brain operates. I go over their beliefs and morals from a kid. What did your parent teach you? What did you learn in college? Why this is wrong? Why this is right? And I help them create their ideal vision. So I actually work with them for two sessions, going over about a 10 to 14 page vision document that I created. And it actually allows you to put the mask off, get the bullshit aside, and you actually spit out for the first time in your life what you truly want out of life. And then my job is to get you there. How can you reverse engineer that and fill the gap between where you're at right now and where you're going? So my recommendation for people that are just starting out, figure out why. I don't think people now ask enough questions to themselves. I think their ego is so strong in their head that the only questions or phrases they ask themselves is, I'm not good enough. I'm not cool enough. I don't have enough followers. You can't do this. Nope. It's got to be perfect before we launch it. Just get outside your head and find that why and just do it. Tomorrow is not going to be perfect. A year from now is not going to be perfect. Shit, just launch it and figure it out. Not everything needs to be perfect as long as you're your most authentic self. So a lot of people wait until things are perfect. A lot of people, I know so many people that wear like fake Hermes belts and fake Rolexes and all this fake shit. It's like, if you can't afford to get one of those things, don't put it on your body. I would much rather invest in a coach that wears a Fossil fucking watch. Sorry, I don't know if I'm supposed to swear on the podcast.
Swear away, bro. I love it.
I'd much rather see if someone wearing a fucking Fossil watch owning that they don't care about Rolexes or cars or this, but they invest all their money into coaching or all their money into masterminds or even their family. They live in a nice house. Their kids are going to great schools, and that's where they invest their money. I think people try to live such a facade now, and the reason why I'm so passionate about it right now is because I did it for years. Who I'm talking about right now is basically me and a lot of other people that I've worked with, a lot of other people that are looking for help, and a lot of people that reach out to me and a lot of the coaches that I know. There's never going to be a perfect time to launch your business. There's never going to be a perfect time for you to jump in the rat race. But if you don't know what your vision is and you don't know what your why is, why are you even starting a company? I'm sorry, but everyone thinks companies are easy. Oh, it's, you know, it just needs $130 to start an LLC. You know, then I do a social media account, then I do this and I do that. Okay, wait till your company actually starts generating revenue. You have to hire a different accountant and a lawyer. Then you have to hire this person and that person. It doesn't get fun. Like, it becomes not fun very quickly if you don't know what you're doing. And a lot of people I see now, like, I've owned multiple companies for years. Randall Pitch has owned multiple companies. Christian Guzman's owned multiple companies. And not saying my influence level is up to theirs, because it's clearly not. But a lot of people look at us or other entrepreneurs and see that they're juggling multiple things, and they start a second company before their first company ever hits six figures. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, you can't have multiple hands in the pot. You can't. The reason why you can focus on multiple things is because the first one's not successful. You haven't given it your all yet. So for the people that want to start multiple things, my new rule of thumb is I will not start second endeavors unless I hit seven figures in a company, or if I can hit multi-six figures with an automated company where I have a director of operations or a COO or someone that's running the company for me, and all I have to do is check reports and say yes or no. Those are the only times I will start multiple projects. I stop taking equity in companies now. I stop taking percentages in other people's companies and growth. I don't have passion in that. And it just becomes, it just bogs me down. I don't care about making extra money, to be completely honest. So for people that are wanting to start out, where are you going to leave impact? What value can you provide the world? If you want to get into macro coaching, okay, why? If you think you can help nurses, why? And keep asking yourself why until you get so to the grassroots and bottom of it, that is your business model now.
That's powerful stuff, man. We could spend a whole another hour just kind of deep diving in everything you said there, but you know, I've had a lot of very successful people on this podcast and talked about a lot of things, but I would say that last 5 minutes of what you just kind of put out there was very, very, very tactical, but also very conceptual of start with why. And everyone talks about that, right? Everyone says you have to have a why and you need to, you know, but you really kind of got into it as like, everything else doesn't matter unless you know exactly why you're doing this and why does that motivate you on a personal level, which ties into what you said earlier, that there's probably something in your childhood that happened that's now, you know, leading you to want to go out and help these people in whatever it may be, macro coaching, you know, whatever type of coaching or help or support. So that was a good way to kind of tie it all together. And like I said, we could go so many different ways with that. Kind of as we're wrapping up here, what if someone says, John, I don't know if I don't know what my why is, or I just, you know, it's, I don't think anyone's going to care about my why or my story. Like, what would you say to that?
I don't know what my why is. I would say then I don't think you know yourself as well as you think you know yourself. And I think you need to stop focusing on your friends, your relationships, all of your exterior things, because that is a reflection of how you view yourself. So a lot of people go and get relationships or marriages or friendships or hobbies because they're scared of being alone with themselves. And the greatest thing about me, like going through MITT, hiring my coaches, is I have a better relationship with myself every day. And I truly am proud of myself for the first time in 30 years. And I truly love myself for the first time in 30 years. So if you don't know what your why is, I would urge you to do some deep diving soul searching to find out who you are. Because if you don't know who you are yet, and that's totally fine. I've launched 8 multi six-figure, seven-figure brands over many, many years, and it took me 30 years to actually finally feel like I was doing something right. So the money doesn't matter. The success doesn't matter. None of that matters if you don't fully, truly feel happy or fulfilled. So if you don't know who you are, no matter what company you launch, if you do $1 million, $1, $100 million, you're never going to be fulfilled unless you know what that is and you know who you are. So I would urge that person to spend some alone time every day. You know, I wake up every day and I read for 1 to 2 hours without, I don't check my phone. I don't go on Instagram. I simply vibe out with the book at hand and I become one with myself. And I think so many people wake up right away, they go into Instagram, they look at their likes, their comments, and right away they feel like a loser the rest of the day because they didn't get enough dopamine as the day before. You know how many people dictate their whole day based on Instagram was slow last night, so I wake up with only 30 notifications versus 3,000? Like, wow. Find out who you are. Find out what your purpose is. Like, why were you put on this earth? I think a lot of people stop asking themselves that a long time ago, and they're stuck in the rat race of their 9-to-5. They're stuck in a bad relationship. They're stuck in being overweight. It's so shocking when I ask my clients, when is the last time someone asked you what your ideal day is? And they look at me stunned. They're like, what did you just say? I said, when is the last time someone asked you what you would like to do today or tomorrow or the day after? And they're like, I think maybe I was 6 years old. College and school does not ask you what courses you'd like to take today. Businesses don't say, oh, what does your ideal day look like today, Jim? Entrepreneurs have that choice, but we fall short of the rat race. So, you know, what does your ideal day look like? What's your why? What do you want to be doing every day? Because I'll tell you, if you start a business, and depending on what industry it is, you're going to be doing web development, you're going to be doing P&L reports, you're going to be doing a lot of stuff you don't like doing. So you need to understand who you need to hire. How much money does that cost? Maybe you stay at your job another year or two to make enough money so when you start your business, you get to hire an accountant right away, or you get to hire a lawyer. So people, I don't think, spend enough time with themselves. And if they do spend time with themselves, I don't know if you knew this, but did you know that in a single day, the human brain thinks about 99,000 negative thoughts in one single day?
I believe it, for sure.
I mean, people are wasting hours per day, and I've been a victim of this for many years, about negative stuff.
And I think that that's what you tied into earlier. And again, that's why I love this talk, man. We could take it so many different ways. But the psychology of success, and again, our reptilian or our subconscious brain is conditioned to think of like,
worst case scenarios. Think about, because everything's to keep us like locked in a little box of comfort. Yep. And a box of, I don't know if you're familiar with Osho, the philosopher, but what he says, the known versus the unknown, like the known, that's, and again, it goes back to the, you know, kid who was abused, who then seeks out abusive relationships, or the person who grew up, and this is kind of like my story, the person who grew up, you know, where money wasn't abundant. You grow up and you think that money's this esoteric thing reserved only for a select few, is that, you know, whatever is known and is familiar, that's comfort. And your brain will really fight you whenever you have to step out into the unknown and break that barrier. So, dude, I totally agree with that. So much powerful stuff here, man. You
appreciate
really
it.
Brought the heat, bro. And something too, that if anyone wants to know more about, like, you know, the perfect day, things that John was talking about, because obviously, you know, Craig Ballantyne, right, from the Empire. Yeah, that's, he was on the podcast and he deep dove, you know, so much into that. But that's so true that, you know, successful people are proactive instead of reactive. And I was that person too, bro. I'd wake up late, I'd grab my phone, I'd check Facebook, Instagram, client emails, shit, someone's pissed off because they didn't lose weight today. Great. Now I'm in a negative loop. Before I even took a step out of bed, I lost. I lost the day. But I'm just like you. I start off, my phone goes off, and I learned this from B. Phone goes off on airplane mode. You read, you journal, you do your personal development stuff. And then, like, once you're in the right mindset, then you can attack everything else so much more efficiently, because now you are, you're being proactive about your day instead of now reacting to every little thing. So great stuff, man. Great stuff. As we tie it up here, anything else that you would like to add or contribute here? It's already been amazing though, man.
No, I appreciate it. I would say, with all the coaching I've recently gone through and the self-discoveries I've done, even people that some of you might look up to, or the followers or clients that look up to me, I'm even going through my self-discovery. I'm even going through my transformation. I'm even going through the rebirth of John Bowles and who I need to be 4, 5, 6 years out. And it's scary. Getting to the next level of where I'm already at and then climbing back up to another level is scary as shit. You know, thinking of going towards the Lewis Houses or the Lori Chris Harders or the Brendan Bouchards or those type of people at that level, that is freaking frightening, or it used to be frightening. So what I would urge people is, it doesn't matter what level you are. It doesn't matter if you're making $1,000 a month. Doesn't matter if you're broke. Doesn't matter if you're making $1 million a month. Every single person has self-doubt. Every single person I've interviewed and have consulted with, some very powerful celebrities with million and billionaires, every person has suffered from self-doubt. So what I urge you to do is start thinking you are good enough. Who's to say you're not? You know, all the celebrities you look up to, or Oprah or Ellen or Michael Jordan, they were all normal people that popped out of the womb. It's their mindset and their actions that got them to where they are. They're not Superman. They don't have superpowers. They're not like Spider-Man with a little web coming out. They are average, normal people that thought above average, and actions were above average. So stop thinking you're not good enough. Stop downing yourself. Stop doubting everything you do. Stop thinking that you can't start a company. Stop letting the media dictate you. Stop watching the news. Stop living in this little bubble of negativity, because guess what? If you put into the world that you're not going to start a company, guess what? You're not going to start a company. If I carried on, you know, 6 months ago, I kept telling myself, I can't write a New York Times bestselling book. Guess what? I never would have written one. But last week, when I went through the advanced course of MITT and I won like the leadership thing, where everyone chose me to live and sacrifice themselves, and I was a leader and I started like bawling my eyes out in front of them, I just saw a room full of people for the first time that actually believed in me to change the world for the kids and grandkids that they live in. And that was powerful for me. So I do a disservice to the world every single time I let a negative thought into my head or dictate my future. If I'm scared of writing a book, I'm doing a disservice. If I don't post on Instagram, I'm doing a disservice. If I don't follow my dreams, thousands of people in my mind die. Little boys and little girls don't become happy and successful because they go through life like I went through life. So in my world, if I allow myself to have my ego win, or think I'm not good enough, or let self-doubt win, I am doing a disservice to millions of future people. So people just need to start looking at how much of an impact they can make. And even if you have 2 followers or no one knows who you are, who cares? Be the leader of your family. impact your community. Start small and see where it goes, but you are good enough. Nothing is separating or not. There's no difference between me, you, or anyone else. It's how we think and it's what we do with that thought process that changes the world and impacts everything.
Yeah, dude, that's again, way to finish it off with a bang there, man. That's very powerful. And you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter because you always hear people, well, no one's watching. No one's, you know, following me. I don't have any clients or I don't have any, you know, I only have 50 Instagram followers. But like you said, you just have to show up, deliver the value first on faith, knowing that if you do this, everything's going to work out. You're going to make the impact that you want because everyone wants the proof first, right?
Absolutely.
Well, if I had as many Instagram followers as you, then I could definitely show up and be positive. But like you said, no one starts at the top. Everyone starts at ground zero. And that's the point you were trying to make, that you have to have above average faith in yourself and above average belief. And just, I think we would also agree that taking just massive action, and then you get those things afterwards, but no one gets the followers, no one gets the clients, no one gets the 7-figure business first. You have to start with nothing for most people and build based off of faith. And then you get the proof later on.
Absolutely.
So awesome stuff, man. So if people want to connect with you or follow you or get some more of your amazing content, where can they go?
So I'm mainly on Instagram. So it's at JonBoles. I do have Facebook and Snapchat and everything else, but my business kind of breathes on Instagram. So yeah. Probably the easiest way for people to get a hold of me. Otherwise, awesome. If you want to learn more about the company, our website is avintivmedia.com. But that's my team that handles all the inquiries and stuff. So if you wanted the direct message or get a hold of me, Instagram would probably be the best shot.
Awesome. And I will go ahead and link to that in the podcast description here. So dude, thank you so much. I'm so glad B connected us, man. I was taking notes as you were talking. So that's how I know this was, this was fire and this was good stuff, man. So thank you so much for showing up today.
Me. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I hope it, you know, if I can even just touch one person's life with the podcast today, that was like a slam dunk for my entire day.
Dude, perfect. I know you at least did that. So guys, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy this, go follow John on Instagram. Like I said, I'll link to his profile in the description. If you guys are enjoying this podcast, please, all I ask is you tell one friend about it. We obviously have a mission here, bringing on very successful people to tell their clues of life and show you what their successes look like and tell their journeys to help you out. So if you found this valuable at all, leave us a review. Subscribe to the podcast and bring one friend. And John, thank you again, brother. Truly appreciate it, man.
Of course, brother. Thanks for having me.